welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
We're glad that you've joined us this week on the broadcast, and we'll pick up our study here in John chapter 1. We left off last time in verse number 43. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. He's going back up north, up in that northern province there, north of Samaria, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Here the Lord Jesus Christ simply is building his church. Philip is a man, as the scriptures testify, because Philip will be called to be an apostle. And the scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 1 the qualifications of apostles, that they needed to be baptized by John the Baptist, and that they needed to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the entirety of his ministry. And so Philip is a man saved. Philip is a man baptized by John the Baptist. And the Lord Jesus Christ is simply building his church out of people, not out of building material, but out of people that are saved, that have been scripturally baptized by the authority of God given to John the Baptist. And he says to Philip, come follow me. Come follow me. He says, follow me, Philip. Verse number 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip, Andrew and Peter, okay, Andrew and Peter being brothers, they're in the same town. They live in that same town there around the Sea of Galilee. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, so Philip finds another man that has been saved, baptized by John the Baptist, having repented of his sins, as John said to those Jews, those religious elite of the day that came and seeking to be baptized. John the Baptist said unto him, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You generation of vipers, you pack of snakes, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. You know, repentance has really been cheapened in this day, because it's thought that repentance are just a pile of right said words. But the scripture bears out, especially in that account of David. I believe in Psalm chapter 51, where David is found there repentant of the sin that he has committed, and the sin that he's committed against God. David not only offers words of repentance before God, but he is contrite. His spirit bears out his repentance. Just saying the right words, folks, is not repentance. It's a godly sorrow touches the soul. To be repentant and to be found guilty before God of your sins is something that is going to happen inside. It's not going to be a 1, 2, 3 and everything's great and I've said the right thing and done the right thing and life is good. There's a world full of false religions that take that approach. But true repentance is going to come from the heart. It's going to come from a moving of the Holy Spirit of God within. It's going to be an opening of the eyes to see truly how bad our sin is. Oh, my sin is great before God. And before the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, my sin stood between me and God, and I had no hope of payment for my sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ visited me with his word, with the scripture that told me the truth, showed me that I'm guilty before God, and showed me Jesus Christ as the only one that could pay for my sin, as the only one that could give me life, as the only one that could help me indeed. Philip finds Nathanael, and Nathanael is one that has repented, has believed, has brought fruits meet for repentance, has been baptized by John the Baptist also. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, it was supposed that he was the son of Joseph, but we know that Joseph was really only his stepdaddy, because God the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ's dad. It is God the Father It is the Spirit of God that moved upon Mary, having never been with a man, being a virgin, and conceived within her that holy thing that would be called the Son of God. But there Nathanael says, Philip says to Nathanael, we found him. We found the Messiah. He says it a little bit different way than it was when Andrew found Simon. But he's saying the same thing. He said, we found the one that Moses wrote about, the prophets wrote about, and he is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, and this reveals an attitude of the Jews in this day, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? The reputation of Nazareth is really, really bad. A stronghold of thieves and wickedness. A town of low reputation. It was known that Nazareth, old burned out, nasty, stinking Nazareth. They had a reputation there, and it was terrible. It was a terrible reputation. And it was known. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's what Nathanael said. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's how the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid his majesty and his greatness and glory aside and came to earth and became a man. As we mentioned last time, there was no beauty in him. The scripture says that we should desire him. He came of no estate, of no reputation. He came as the son of a handmaid, and as the supposed son of a carpenter in a town with a poor, poor reputation, meek and lowly. You know why it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came that way? He came that way because he knows that men, women, boys, and girls, that mankind, that humanity, we are subject to what we see. That's the reason that entertainment is such an important part of our culture and society. We are motivated by what we see. But the Lord Jesus Christ came not wanting sinners to see with the physical eye and believe, but that they might hear with the heart. That they might hear with the heart. If we see it, then maybe we believe it. But to hear it, we need to hear it with the heart. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came that way. The reputation here that Nathanael says about Nazareth. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? How can it be that the Messiah would be from Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. That's what we invite you. Come and see. Come and see about the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see about him. Come and see about the truth that he speaks about your condition before him, that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and that he's the only one. Philip says, come and see. Come and see and I'll show you. Verse number 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. You know, that word guile is not a word that we use very often. Matter of fact, I don't use it hardly at all, other than relative to the scriptures. The word guile is talking about deceit and deception. The Lord Jesus Christ sees Nathanael coming, and he says, yeah, he's an Israelite, all right. He's an Israelite indeed, and there's no deception in him. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying about Nathanael, I believe, is that he speaks his mind. He will tell you the truth. Nathanael will tell you what he thinks. He's not going to beat around the bush. He's not going to sugarcoat words. He's going to tell you what he understands and believes the truth is. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? I think that these that have been brought by others, I think that this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with them. He has talked to them about who they are and about aspects of them. He says to Peter, in verse number 42, he says, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." The Lord Jesus Christ offers that to him before at the first arrival, seemingly, of Peter, as he's brought there by his brother. And Philip, finds Nathanael, and he's bringing him. And here the Lord is dealing with Nathanael in seemingly that same way. Nathanael, verse number 48, saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." You know, we don't have a Savior that's low on power. We don't have a Savior that's low on ability. He's God. He says, before Philip even got to you and told you about me and encouraged you to come and see me, I saw you there. I wonder what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. I wonder if he was meditating on the Word of God, if he was thinking about things maybe that he shouldn't have been thinking about. I don't know. But there's going to be a reaction here of Nathanael that's really going to be, it's going to be something. What was it that Nathanael was doing under the fig tree? We don't know. But the Lord Jesus Christ saying that he saw him there. And I think the indications even is not only did he see him there, but Nathanael knew that he even knew the contemplations of his own heart, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Folks, if you don't have a Savior that is God, you have no Savior. Our sin and our depravity is so great that there was no way that a man of mankind could be a Savior for sinners like you and me. It took God to offer himself as a sacrifice for sinners like us. That's the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ became a man. That he became a man, yet being God, 100% God, 100% man. Not 50-50, not 50% God and 50% man. But 100% God and 100% man. It's the only way that salvation can be accomplished for sinners like us. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we encourage you to cry out unto him for mercy, that he would save your soul. And we want to help you in any way that we can. I can't save you, but I point you to the one that can, the God-man. The one that even right now, as you're listening to this broadcast, knows the thoughts of your heart. The very one that's brought his word to come to pass. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, verses number 12 and verse number 13, that the word of God gets down amongst us and it even breaks out and shows the intents of our heart. It reveals our motive. You can't play games with God, folks. You can't mess around and treat God like another man. The Lord knows you right where you are. And we pray that you'll look to him and repentance and faith, that your soul might be saved. Well, I see our time has passed for now. We thank you for joining us in the broadcast. Till next time, we bid you farewell. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.